Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you listen often enough, you know that we have our good friend Than Bennett on the show. For years, we called it a faith perspective from the Hill. But Than stepped away from his role on the Hill and now serves the kingdom in a completely different way. So now we're still touching on points in the news, and we're still bringing a faith perspective. But we also, because of the way he stepped out and what he's doing now, and you can listen to past shows to hear more about what he and Brooke are doing to, you know, really be part of the solution. It's absolutely amazing. We as much want to be part of the solution. So as we bring up these topics, then we ask ourselves and we ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? And we engage to be part of the solution. All right, so some of the things we're going to touch on today are these. One is that Scripture tells us that God has equipped us for every good work. So what is that good work exactly? What does that mean for you? What does that mean for me? A news item, Mexico's Supreme Court has decriminalized abortion. As a result, health facilities will be required to perform abortions. What should we know? How can we respond? What should we do about that? Quakes and floods in North Africa. Here's another one. Did our government violate our First Amendment rights by coercing social media censorship as it relates to perspectives on COVID, the elections, and Hunter Biden? And then should there be age limits and or competency tests for those who serve in government positions? Now, what I'm going to do, I've got an announcement. We'll get Than on in a minute. But as we take these one topic at a time, I'm going to try a little experiment. I want you to text your opinion. So when I bring up the topic, I want you right away to give me your thoughts on it. And again, this is sort of the question, can we model civil dialogue over hot topic issues? You know, we all know these are polarizing times. We all have our opinions. Many of us have strong opinions. But can we hear from each other and learn from each other? So with each topic I address, I'm going to ask for your input, but I also ask for your humility, your teachability, and some faith that God can somehow make the way ahead of us clear. Remember what Scripture says, that we see as in a glass dimly, which means we all have some kind of skewed perspective. And I think if we can humbly learn from each other, we'd be better for it, don't you think? So I want you to hear this verse and try to visualize this coming true for you. I'm using this as one of my bedrock prayer verses as we head into this next election season this year. And it's Psalm 97:11, and I'm reading from the Amplified Version. Visualize this if you can. Light is sown like seed for the righteous and illuminates their path. An irrepressible joy is spread for the upright in heart who delight in His favor and His protection. Oh my goodness. Is this jumping off the page at you like it is at me? Okay. First of all, picture your path forward. Picture the angst that you feel where you watch a little too much news. You get mad at your political opponents or even family and friends who see things differently, and suddenly your gut is tied in a knot and you're like, what is there even a way forward? Is it going to only get worse from here? The Word of God is truer than the facts that are right in front of you. So I want you to picture your path, and I want you to picture heaven. I want you to picture God sowing seeds on your path that are like light, little seeds of light that illuminate your path. And then imagine irrepressible joy springing up in your heart. Because why? Because you're delighting in the favor of God and the protection of God. Are you despairing over the downfall of men and the corruption of the political system? Or are you delighting in the fact that those things might be true, but truer still is I have the favor of God and I have the protection of God? Somebody got to give me an amen. All right. What if this verse becomes one of our bedrock promises as we venture into this polarizing political season? Listen to this. What if we count on God to sow seeds that illuminate our path? Instead of being angry about the opposition, we become expectant for God's intervention. That's my hope. That's my prayer. Quick announcement before we hear from Than. Our fall fundraiser is next week. These are really important times for us because we are listener supported. And I can't even thank you enough to especially a long list of friends who've already checked in and gotten a jump start on giving their gifts. They're stepped into the bigger story, said, count me in. Greater things are yet to be done all over the world. Thanks to Tim and Heidi, Rick, Will, Paul, Wendy, Kayla, Franklin, Susan, Barbara, Karen, Aaron, Deanne, and more. Thank you for your generosity and for stepping into that bigger story that God's writing on the earth today. We're just getting started, let me just tell you. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Van Bennett is founder and president of Every Good Work, which exists to equip Jesus followers for a life of impact. Van and his wife, Brooke, are co-founders of A Fearless Life, listen to this, which works to find and fund a family for every adoption-eligible foster child in America. Van has more than 20 years of high-level public policy experience with a particular focus on U.S. Congress and United Nations. He's the author of In Search of the King and My Fame, His Fame. We got both of those to give away today. He and his wife, Brooke, live in Southern Maryland with their three children, Jude, Gambrel, and Hope, as well as a host of farm animals. They're longtime members of National Community Church, which is Mark Batterson's church. Dan, we love you. Welcome back to the show.
Susie, your open today is on fire. And I don't even think you know this, but the very first book that I ever wrote, it never got published, but it was called A Path Illuminated. And the concept that you just talked about, it was really rooted in that concept. So I feel like maybe I don't even need to be on the rest of the show. Maybe you should just keep going. Just keep on that theme. And we'll see you next week or next week.
No, I don't think so. Praise God for that. I appreciate it so much. I mean, that just is a, I don't know. I think that's a word from God because he wants that for us. But you have to preempt those things and you've got to really decide, okay, I see the storm clouds gathering. I hear the both sides getting all angsty. What am I going to do? And to me, that's the essence of your whole ministry is going, discern the times, but then know what to do. So we sure love and appreciate you. Thanks for joining me again today.
Oh, thanks for having me. And I couldn't agree more. You know, it's going to get dark. It's going to get dark in certain seasons, but we have the light of God's word, Susie. And so we can come back to it each and every day. It may only provide light for, you know, a step or two. Sometimes I've found that that's the case. But if we keep coming back to it, even the darkest of seasons will be illuminated by his word.
Amen. All right. So, you know, you've been on plenty of times. What's the Lord been speaking to you about just these days?
Yeah, Susie. I mean, you know this. I think a lot of your listeners know this. You actually alluded to it in your open, but it's been an unusual season for our family. You know, for the couple of decades preceding this, we were on a lot of adventures with God, but we always were doing it from sort of a traditional setting, especially a traditional employment setting. So there was a lot of security there. But this year has been very different. He's really, God has moved us in a lot of untraditional ways, and that has included untraditional employment. And it's been very sweet in a lot of ways, Susie. His mercies have been so real to us. But I think the word that I would use is that it has felt uneven. And I have really wrestled with how to truly trust God's guidance and trust his provision and trust his leading. And over the weekend, Susie, what God was just saying to me, he was bringing to mind several passages about his promises in this area. And just a couple of examples. 1 Samuel 12, Samuel says, "Stand still and see this great thing the Lord is about to do before your eyes." And then Isaiah 43, Isaiah describes God as one who made a way through the sea. And there were a lot of others he brought to mind, but that Isaiah passage is, of course, referring to the parting of the Red Sea in Exodus 14. And God really, that really jumped out at me over the weekend. And he spoke to me out of verse 15 from that chapter. And that's what I wanted to share with you, because it is unequivocally true, Susie, that God is the one to deliver, and he asks us to rest in his power rather than our own. But here's the thing that he told me this weekend, Susie. It doesn't mean we do nothing, right? It doesn't mean that we just sit and wait necessarily. And in this chapter, if you read it in context, God has already told the Israelites to move on. And so when Moses comes back to God and sort of cries out to him for help, God says this to him. And this just kind of stopped me in my tracks. He said, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on." And Susie, it was really almost like God just said, "Than, I've got you. I already know how I'm going to sustain you. I know how I'm going to guide you. I am using you, but you've got to trust me to do my job. I've given you a job. You need to move on that. you need to continue stepping into the water. And so I just wanted to speak directly to someone who's listening that maybe you feel like this is an uneven season for you as well. I want to encourage you with this. Have the faith to trust that God is going to uphold his word to you, and he's going to stay true to the promises that he made to you. And here's my challenge. I want you to really ask him what it is that he has assigned you to do, and then move on that. And I believe that I can trust him, and I believe that you can trust him to then do his part.
I can't even tell you how much I love that. In fact, I feel like that should be the title of one of your next Equipped newsletters, The Uneven Season, because who doesn't feel like that in some way, shape, or form? And even the way that you're walking this out in real time, Than, I mean, you're putting your feet where your faith is. You walked away from a secure income to really the unknown land to tend to, you know, children. You know, adoptive children, foster children. It's truly amazing. And then to help equip churches to discern the times and know what to do. Talk about an uneven season, but wouldn't, you know, you think of many people looking at, again, politics and the times that we're in and culture. And even within the church, there are uneven seasons all over the place. To go back to what you just said, can you hear the Lord saying this to your friend, that he's saying, trust me to do what I said I'm going to do. I've told you what you need to do. Now trust me to do what I said I'm going to do. And that's such a good point, because we tend to run back because I haven't seen you do it yet. I haven't seen you do it yet. And I think but we have discerned what the job is before us. So that is so good. Any further thoughts before we go to break?
You know, I think the only other thing I'd say is I told Brooke this morning, actually, I said, I just feel sort of a soul level fatigue. And that almost feels like a confession of sort, right? I'm not supposed to be worn down. We're not supposed to grow weary in well-doing. But, you know, honestly, Susie, I think what a privilege it is to be alive during this time. God has placed us here in this moment. And we're going to get fatigued. We're going to get worn down. But I think if we're continually coming back to him with that question, God, am I setting my hands and my energy to the things that you would have me to do? Because if we are, then he will restore us. And I think that fatigue will be replenished. But I think that's just maybe very practical. We get tired. And it's okay to admit that. It's okay to go to God and say, I'm fatigued. I need you to fill me up. And I believe he'll do that.
So good. So go to break. I got to read Rosella's text. She said, Susie, I so appreciate Than Bennett. He brings civility to potentially contentious issues. He's firm, yet respectful and kind, presenting and standing for the truth. Blessings and shalom. I couldn't have said it better myself, Rosella, because you're not spineless. You've got a backbone. You don't bend on things you have profound conviction over, but you are respectful. And what a gift you are. And remember, if you haven't, or maybe you don't even know this yet, but Than's got a new show on Faith Radio's lineup. It's called The Equipped, on Saturdays, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. When we come back, we're going to talk about Mexico Supreme Court's decision that they've decriminalized abortion. Now, here's where I want to have you start texting in. Again, this is an experiment. I want to see how it goes. I'm asking for civility and humility. But what if you were in the healthcare facility and this mandate came down through the ranks and you were forced to participate with an abortion and you have a family to feed? What would you do, and how do you feel about this decision? Mexico Supreme Court has decriminalized abortion, and Than will unpack what this all means and how we can pray and what we as God's people should do. More with Than Bennett in a moment.
The Bible is valuable, and reading and studying the Bible can transform your life. Hi, I'm Angela Smith, host of Reading the Bible Together podcast. Several times a year, we release a new Reading the Bible Together study. We've studied Luke, Daniel, Advent, Lent, and so many more. You can access all of our studies for free by going to the Reading the Bible Together resource page at myfaithradio.com. In addition to the studies, we also have the accompanying podcast. You can listen wherever you listen to podcasts. You can study on your own, or if your small group or Bible study is looking for what to study next, check out the Reading the Bible Together resource page at myfaithradio.com.
Hope you having a really great day. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live, talking to our good friend Than Bennett, who joins us once a month to talk about some of the top news items and just the political polarization, how we as God's people can discern the times and know what to do. And so we're walking through a few talking points from his Equipped newsletter. If you want to subscribe to that, you can do that because he tries to bring forth what you're reading in the news and bring a faith biblical perspective. And he very gently says, here are the facts, and here's a perspective on how we can respond based on what God's word says. So the first thing you want to talk about from your newsletter is Mexico's Supreme Court ruling to decriminalize abortion. Tell us what we need to know.
Yeah, Susie, obviously this is a controversial news item, but it's interesting to me how different parts of the world are moving in different directions. The news piece here is that the Mexico Supreme Court has ruled to decriminalize abortion. Now, they have a similar government structure to ours, not exactly the same, but essentially what this means is that previous national bans on abortion are now unconstitutional, and they have invalidated all of the criminal penalties that were associated with those bans. They have also said that public and federal health facilities, which quite frankly, that's most of the health facilities in the country, they will now be required to perform abortions. And so I think a couple of things here. Number one, it's very interesting that the Mexico Supreme Court is moving in that direction. At the same time, the U.S. Supreme Court is sort of moving in the other direction, right? They were kind of on different ends of the spectrum, so to speak. But last year, the U.S. Supreme Court, as probably everyone knows, rolled back the 50-year-old precedent in Roe v. Wade and again allowed states, individual states, to regulate and restrict abortion again. And so the countries are moving in different directions and they're landing in different places. But one of the things that we talked about in the newsletter is just how no matter where you live, whether you live in Mexico or you live in the United States or you live somewhere else around the world, that maybe this issue, the legal landscape looks a little bit different. Our command from Scripture, Susie, it's really pretty much the same. You might have to do it against a different legal backdrop, but we're called to care for the needy, to provide for the vulnerable, to defend the widow, and to provide for the orphan. Those are very clear commands all the way throughout Scripture. And so just the challenge for Jesus followers out there, yes, we need to interface with the legal structure of wherever we live so that it best reflects the freedom and the character of Christ. But no matter where it lands legally, we've got an obligation to care for those people where the hurting exists and where the need exists. And so sort of the gentle question in the newsletter is, where's the place for you to start? Where is somewhere you can start meeting this practical need very tangibly?
And, you know, to do what we can do and then to pray for God to do what only He can do. And again, coming from a faith perspective, those who are in positions to make such rules will face God someday. And what's grievous to me, Than, and again, I'm expressing my conservative opinion here, but the narrative, really the broad narrative around this topic is that it's a noble thing to be pro-abortion, and it's you're absolutely crazy to be any other way. Like that's the noble moral stance, and that's so devastating to someone who considers that life in the womb as an image bearer. And so it's so hard. Like, I can never get around that. I just can't. And this dear listener said, there's a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it leads to death. And they say, I don't know if it's a man or woman, they say a whole nation does not have more moral authority over a human life, a human being, than God. And then this dear one says, Gwen says this, I couldn't participate if she was worked in the healthcare system. There will be another job. Christians can be confident that God will provide a way where there seems to be no way. Amen, Gwen. And what I love what you're saying, Than, is political powers are going to make their decisions. And tell me if I'm paraphrasing you incorrectly, but we can either shake our fist at the darkness or do what you're saying, going, jump in, roll your sleeves up, and be part of the solution and help those who are needy, those who are orphaned, those who are vulnerable, do something about it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a role for us to play no matter if we agree with the laws in our place where we live or not. You know, Jeremiah 1:5, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've got a view on this too, Susie, and I try to be very honest and disclose it when I feel passionately about something. I think if you look at this issue through the eyes of the Creator or even just through the lens of science, you see By the time you have your first appointment, when you have a child in your womb, there's a heartbeat. Just a few weeks later, there's fully formed fingers and toes, and that baby can feel pain. Susie, just a few months into pregnancy, if the baby in utero is a female, you have three generations present. You have a mother,
wow.
You have the little girl, and then you have the grandchild of that pregnant mother. And so I think the facts arguing for the fingerprints of God inside the womb are very apparent. All of that said, maybe you land where I do, maybe you don't, but I know this. You are commanded and invited, and I am commanded and invited to meet that pregnant woman in her place of pain, in her place of need, and provide a way out. And I would just tell you, Susie, this is no longer figurative for me. Brooke and I, as you know, we have been adjacent to enough of these situations to know that in the vast majority of them, if the body of Jesus Christ would stand up and say, I value you and I value that child inside your womb, in the vast majority of those situations, Susie, that child would be brought to term. And so I think we should fight for laws that defend the humanity inside the womb. I absolutely do. But I think that is really hollow and shallow if we're not also in those places of pain, putting in the work and actually offering a path out of it. I think we can do both, Susie.
I think you're so right. And maybe you're listening going, I'm not really in a season of life that I can take in a foster child or adopt a child. But you can play a different role. You can help fund someone who can do that, right?
So true. That's what we're doing at A Fearless Life. You can get information there at afearlesslife.org. But I would, I definitely invite you to do that, Susie. You may even start smaller in your church community. Find out who is fostering children or who is in the process of adopting. And here's what I always recommend, and people always think that maybe this is a little too small or too trite, but I can tell you, having been in this situation, it will mean the world to the family that you offer this to. Find out the day they're going to take placement and tell them that you're going to drop a hot meal off on their doorstep at a time. You're going to ring the doorbell and you're going to leave. You're not going to stay. You're not going to take up the time when they're trying to, bring a child into their home, but you are going to meet a practical need in a day where they have all sorts of logistics. Start small. And Susie, what that's going to do is it's going to bring you adjacent to this issue. And I will wager it's going to help you identify where you can take the next step. So maybe start there. But yeah, check out afearlesslife.org. And that's where Brooke and I are applying our energies.
And how many adoptions so far? It's a fairly new organization, but the fact that you've already funded a couple at least of children going into homes, or where are you at?
Yeah,
right,
God is so good, Susie. We made our first grant to our first adoptive family in June, and then last month in August we funded three more adoptive families.
Oh, wow.
So there are four families, Susie, and at least four children, maybe some sibling groups. We don't have visibility into that, but we'll be in forever families going home, and it's in thanks to those who have come alongside. I appreciate what you said, though. I do believe that many of us are called to adopt from foster care, but not all of us are, Susie. Maybe the role for someone listening is to say, okay, someone else is called to step forward and adopt, but I can give to make that possible. We're trying to build that bridge and bring those people into community with one another.
And I've said last time you were on, I have this dream, but I think it's a twofold dream. I have a dream that there'd be a Faith Radio listener whose adoption you can fund, and there's a Faith Radio listener who can fund an adoption, because we've got a vast audience. We've got people of means and resources, and we've got people who have massive kingdom hearts. So it would just be an absolute dream that if you're somebody listening today and you have space in your home to rescue a child from the foster system, or maybe you've got the means to provide, wouldn't that be something? It's just a dream, just a prayer. We'll see what happens. Stan Bennett's my guest today. When we come back, we're going to talk about the quakes and the floods in North Africa. My question, are all these weather patterns, do you think they're signs of the times? Let me know. Text me 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Hope you're having a fantastic day. We sure are. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to our good friend Than Bennett. He's been on every month for several years, and we always used to call it the Faith Perspective from the Hill because he was part of policy making in Washington, D.C. But God has moved him out, and he and his wife are seeking to find and fund adoptions for every family that will take. They want to empty the foster care system, and they're doing so many other things as well. But he's got his finger on the pulse of what's going on in politics and news. So every month he still comes on. We touch on some of these news topics. But like in his Equipped newsletter and his Equipped show, which airs on Faith Radio on Saturdays, he's bringing the facts and then he brings the truth. And that's what our hope is because you can tune in to almost any news source and you'll be mad. No matter what side of the aisle they're on, you'll get mad or you'll get afraid. And because they're just fueling hatred and division and polarization. So our hope and prayer is that we can humbly kind of serve up some of the facts and then say, as Christians, from a biblical perspective, what ought we do? How should we pray? How should we stand? And so in a minute, we're going to answer the question, did our government violate our First Amendment rights by coercing social media censorship as it relates especially to COVID, perspectives on COVID, elections, and Hunter Biden? We'll get up to that in a minute. But how about this one? Quakes and floods in North Africa. What say you?
Well, yeah, this was the North African region, Susie. They had a wild, wild, I guess you would call it weather week, but just natural disaster week. There was a huge earthquake in Morocco, 6.8 magnitude, followed by several aftershocks. And the aftershocks maybe did more damage because the initial shock weakened so many buildings. But then just not too far away was the largest flooding event by recorded deaths in recorded history, so dating back to 1900. And you know, it was interesting, Susie. I was on with Carmen on her morning show last week, and she said, "Well, actually, my granddaughter was looking at this story, and she said there was a larger recorded flood in this region. We find it in the Book of Genesis," and she's exactly correct. That is definitely the case. But here's sort of the point. I mean, Isaiah 51 talks about how the heavens are going to vanish away and the earth will melt like wax. And I have to think, Susie, the people in this region probably felt like that over the last week. And so really the action point in the newsletter was threefold. It was to pray for people who are either, had a loss in their family or are displaced. Tens of thousands are displaced. So to pray for them, also to consider how to tangibly support them as they recover. And then third, maybe for ourselves, Susie, just to recognize more firmly that our life is but a vapor. We read that in James 4. And what are we doing to make sure that we are sowing into eternity? Because the things we cling to here can be, they can be taken away in the blink of an eye.
You know, it really is amazing, Than, when you listen to the news, to these natural disasters are like birth pangs. Your wife Brooke's given birth three times. You know what it is to have, labor pains, contractions 15 minutes apart, and then they go down to 2 minutes apart. What are your thoughts on that as far as it's almost like we become desensitized to how often these things are happening?
Well, I think we know a couple of things for certain from Scripture, and the first is that this world is not forever. I think without a shadow of a doubt, these are birthing pains or however you would equate that to the earth waxing old. You know, we also know with certainty that no man knows the day or the hour. So I can't tell you if that means we are, on the cusp of our Savior's return or if, in man's time, it is still some way off. Time is an interesting dynamic, right? A day is like a thousand years in the kingdom. So I can't answer that question for you. And I think you would agree that it's probably not time well spent to try to, but here's what I can tell you for certain. Jesus is coming back. And
he's closer than ever before. That's what I was looking for. You're right. We can't discern dates, but we are called to discern the times and to pay attention and to look up and to be letting our light shine. So to put our head in the sand and not pay attention is not wise either, right? I mean, to discern the times, he said, you don't discern the seasons. You know how it works for a sailor, but you don't understand the times. So that, I guess that was my point, is going, just the moral spiral, the downward spiral, all of the things that are happening, the lawlessness, all of it is pointing to we're closer than we've ever been before. So how are we supposed to live,
Amen. And, the Scripture says he's coming like a thief in the night, but he's also coming for you and for me. right? And so mm-hmm. let's be ready. Let's prepare and let's live as if it's a moment away. And Susie, not just selfishly either. Let's live in a way that makes others ready for that as well. I totally agree with you. The times point to his return. They have been for some time now. And I, for one, will rejoice when that day comes.
Oh, looking forward to it. I want to live ready, you know. In Luke's gospel, he said that Jesus himself said, if I come back and find you living expectant for my return with that sense of urgency in your heart, I myself will put on an apron and seat you and serve you. Try to imagine the Savior doing such a thing. And that's why I agree. I don't want to get into such deciding of dates. I think that's ridiculous. Scripture clearly says not to. But for Jesus to say, I want you to live with a holy expectancy in every generation because there are lives at stake. So of course we should live that way. So thank you, Lord. All right, moving on to this next one. And friends, this is one I would love for you to chime in to, and also just to be careful of our tone so far. The texts that have come in have been absolutely amazing. But did our government violate First Amendment rights by coercing social media censorship as it relates to perspectives on COVID, elections, and Hunter Biden? You can text me, thoughts, 877-933-2484. What do you say, Van?
Well, the Fifth Circuit says that they did, Susie. And so when we get to a controversial issue like this, and there are a lot of them in the news, we try to do three things. We try to give you the facts as they exist. We try to give you the tools to analyze them on their own. And then we try to point you to what the Bible would have us to do as we interact with that story. The facts as they exist is that the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals has upheld a lower court ruling that essentially found, Susie, what you just said. It found that the White House and several federal agencies had been coercive in nature in getting social media companies to suppress controversial issues. And like you said, the issues in question this time were the COVID pandemic, election integrity, and then the case against Hunter Biden. So the Fifth Circuit found that they had indeed coerced social media companies to suppress posts of American citizens on that issue. That would be a violation of the First Amendment. So just to go one level deeper on this, what they said then is that the White House, the Surgeon General, the CDC, and the FBI can no longer contact social media companies for any purpose around discussing content moderation. So they can't contact social media companies and talk about whether or not certain content should be moderated or not. Now, they did modify the lower court's ruling somewhat. They actually took a few agencies out of that prohibition, including the Department of State, but they upheld it for the main ones in contention. So those are the facts. And I just very briefly, I won't spend too much time on this right now, but in the newsletter, you'll find links to things like court orders and indictments on controversial issues. And Susie, I do that because I want us to get in the habit of actually reading this information for ourselves rather than getting it distilled through a media outlet or a particular narrative. I think that will build our muscles in being able to ascertain fact from fiction, but then also to apply it against God's word. And just very briefly, in this case, God made us to be free, Susie. And the American government, in my opinion, has done a better job of enshrining that into our founding documents than any government across the course of human civilization. However, it's up to us to then apply those principles that we find in our founding documents in a way that keeps us free. And so in this case, no matter your political persuasion, we should not want the government engaging in this kind of speech profession. And so no matter where it happens, no matter which administration it happens, these are actions that we should be willing to speak out against. And we should defend the ability of our friends and our neighbors to have their opinions and to speak them.
I wonder, and it's moot point, I guess, but I wonder how things would have played out differently in these last few years on these very important topics had there not been censorship. You know, I mean, the other opinions brought in, other perspectives, like on how to treat COVID and things like that, that were suppressed. They were. Mm-hmm. And that's painful, I think, for those who felt like they had a valid opinion and weren't allowed to speak it. Like, is this the America that, you know, our forefathers died to give us? So anyway,
well,
that's a hard one.
It is a hard one, Susie. It's the merits of the Proverbs when it says that iron sharpens iron. You don't get refining of ideas. You don't get the most merited ideas rising to the top unless you have what? Unless you have open discourse, unless you have free debate, and unless you have ideas that don't hold up to scrutiny, exposed to scrutiny. And so you and I have had this conversation a lot, Susie. It's uncomfortable to be in conversation with someone who disagrees with you, but you are never going to get better information and to have your own ideas refined unless they come into that kind of sharpening. And so I don't think there's any question but that when the government suppresses that robust debate, the merit of the ideas that take root in public policy, Susie, they get worse. They just do. Yeah. The strength of the policies that are imposed get worse.
So going forward, will that be something that will be enforced now that that was determined, that order was made?
Yeah, so the Fifth Circuit ruling is binding on those agencies. So the White House, the Surgeon General, the CDC, and the FBI. So any social media company that was contacted by one of those agencies for the purpose of content moderation would have legal recourse against them. And I do believe they would take it. Now, I think there's going to be more litigation on this, Susie. I think those agencies, at least some of them, will appeal to the Supreme Court. So this may go up to the Supreme Court. And I think we should watch that. I do think what we should be the most interested in, though, is making sure that we use our freedom for speech. But Susie, maybe here's the hard part. When someone in your church or your neighborhood or your, maybe even when you're talking politics, when they disagree, don't try to shut them down. Welcome the input. Give them your input and try to engage in a dialogue. It's a practice that we have grown weak in, and we need to strengthen that muscle because the best recourse against a future infringement like this, and let me just tell you, it's going to happen. The government will do this again. It may be Republican, it may be Democrat, but every government in human history tries to take this power unto itself. So it will happen again. And the best recourse against it is people of all different ideological backgrounds, political stripes, and even faith, Susie, being willing to engage with each other on merit and not trying to silence the opposing view. So we have to model it here first.
So good, Than. So good. This is why we have you on. Okay. When we come back, one other question, and it's not in your newsletter, but I was just curious because it comes up a lot these days. Should there be age limits and or competency tests for those who serve in government positions? And then what I haven't done with you in a while, but I used to do all the time, is I put you on the spot. I know you're so excited about this. And I open up a chapter out of scripture, and I'm going to read a few verses at a time and have you comment. But you're kind of like a pit bull. I throw you a bone, you just grab it. It's like not a problem. So I'm going to open up the word in every other sense of the word. Like my pit bull, Memphi, he's in heaven now, I believe. But he was so gentle, so sweet, but he was tough. And I feel like you have such a firm conviction in the things of God. So just for fun, I'm going to unpack a passage and have you sort of take it a couple verses at a time. I'm not going to tell you which one, though. We'll be back in a minute with Than Bennett. Hope you're enjoying this conversation. Do you think of yourself as courageous? A world changer, even? Well, maybe fear rules the day, keeps you from identifying in this way. But when you step out in faith and you decide to take action in the moment, living this day in light of that day of eternity, you literally change the world. Susie Larson Live is part of a listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. This content is only available because of your support. The impact on lives, the reach around the world happens because you stood up to make a difference. Now is your time if you've not called in yet. Take the next step. Be bold by joining the support team now. We can't do this without you, and we absolutely wouldn't want to. You can click the link in the show notes or go directly to myfaithradio.com. Myfaithradio.com. Let's reach the world together for Jesus. He's the hope of the earth. He's the one who changes lives for all eternity. God bless you. Hmm. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. We've got our good friend Than Bennett on the show. He joins us every single month to get a perspective on the news items of the day from a faith and biblical perspective. And as you can tell, as you listen to Than, he is trying to teach us all to engage in civil dialogue, to have relationships with people who vote differently, think differently, and sit across the table in love and hear people and let them hear you. You know, we don't see it modeled on media. We don't see it modeled between very many politicians. But as we, if Christ followers can't do it, then who can do it? And so we're walking our way through a few of these topics. And this one, again, wasn't in your newsletter, but I just would love your opinion on it just because I'm hearing a lot of debate about it. Should there be age limits and or competency tests for those who serve in government positions? What do you say?
Yeah, I say no, Susie. That's my opinion. I'll give you a comment on it as well. I say no because I think the ultimate authority for choosing our leaders should rest with the voters. And so I think that is the competencies test. It's the same reason that sort of, at least ideologically, I don't like the idea of term limits. Although I will tell you, Susie, it's become so institutionalized, I think maybe that's a bad idea whose time has come. But I would not go so far as to introducing an age limit or a competency test. I will tell you this, though. I wrote about this sort of in a secondhand fashion last week in the Equipped newsletter because we were talking about the story of Leader McConnell, who's the Republican leader in the United States Senate, having some very difficult health challenges right now. We've also seen some significant health challenges for Senator Feinstein, Senator Fetterman, and a few others. And here's what I do think we need more from our leaders and then also just in society, Susie. As we honor our elders and as we honor those who have more life experience than us, I do think we should invite them to invest proactively in the generation that's going to take the mantle behind them. And the biblical example that I use, you and I have talked about this, but it's one of my very favorite passages. 1 Chronicles 28. King David, height of his power, height of his authority, what does God ask him to do? He says, you know, that thing that is the most important to you, that I task you with doing, building my temple, I want you to invest that in your son, and I want you to do it now. He calls the entire nation together to pass that mantle on to Solomon at the height of his power. I think that is something that our society as a whole, and I would say our leaders specifically, should probably take a hold of a little bit more.
Wow, that is fantastic. I love that so much. Excellent. Okay, here is the passage we're going to walk through. And friends, I've had Than on every month for, I don't know, number of years. And once in a while, I like to pull out a chapter in Scripture and just read it verse by verse and throw it to Than and to just hear what you have to say. So the passage right now is Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. We're going to take it verse by verse and have you speak to it. So verse 1, praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. What say you?
Well, first of all, you called me a pit bull. I think it's the highest compliment you've ever paid me, given your love for pit bulls. But praise the Lord. Bless those who fear his name. Susie, this is central to who we need to be. We need to wake up praising his name. I confess to you at the start of the broadcast that I have sort of a soul level weariness. There is nothing that mitigates that, pushes back against that, resists that, other than praising the Lord. And so honestly, that's what I did even this morning. Turn on some praise music and praise the Lord. So that's what comes to mind.
That's so good. And joyful are those who fear the Lord. There's, well, you know, that right reverence, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I remember one of my author friends, when she was on, Holly Girth, she said, why does the enemy keep going after my joy? And the Lord whispered to her heart, he's not going after your joy. He's going after your strength through your joy. He wants to steal your strength. And there's something so prophetic and powerful about engaging in the joy of the Lord and delighting in him. Okay, number 2, their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. And this speaks to your heart so much about the ripple effect of future generations when, you know, you and Brooke or Kevin and I or whoever is deciding, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So I'll read it one more time. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed.
You know, I think it speaks to the last story. It does speak to where God has asked Brooke and I to set our hands, but it also speaks to the mandates really all throughout Scripture. Susie, we have a tendency to be very short-sighted in what God wants to do through our lives. We measure it by things like, you know, a house or a car or a bank account or a, you know, notoriety. God measures this like the promise that he made through Abraham, that his legacy would be, you know, you couldn't count the stars, and that would represent his legacy. Susie, I think we need to be more interested in the impact that God is going to make through our lives after we're gone, right? That's First Chronicles 28 again. That's King David saying, I could do this. I want to pass my mantle to King Solomon even now.
That is so good. It reminds me too of Jesus. I think it's John 15, but he says, I've appointed you to bear fruit that lasts. It's to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. I've appointed you to bear fruit that lasts. And as I understand that passage, it's fruit that bears fruit that bears fruit. So just along with what you said, so good. Okay, that verse 3, they themselves will be wealthy and their good deeds will last forever.
Well, this is, again, I mean, it's right on point with what we talked about. This has been something that I've been learning this year, quite honestly, Susie. You know, walking away from a 22-year career where you knew the paycheck was coming in every 2 weeks, it became very easy to trust in that. And God has had to do a work in my heart, a work in my heart that's not yet done. What are wealth and riches? Wealth and riches are not in a paycheck that is every 2 weeks. Wealth and riches is in amplifying the name and the fame of my God. And that is what will last forever. And so this is going to sound, I don't know, maybe this will sound extremely vulnerable or maybe even extremely weak, but this work is not done in me. This is a work that is continuing to take place even now. And I think it's one that's pretty common to mankind, but I'm right in the middle of it.
I love it. I appreciate your honesty. Because of time, I'm going to pair some verses together. Verse 4 or 5, light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly.
Generosity and compassion is at the root of so many things, Susie. And I frequently, actually, when I get caught up in myself, I have to get back to, okay, maybe it's not even monetary. Maybe it's, God, who would you have me pray for today? Who needs your touch today? And getting me thinking about the needs of someone else. Actually, this morning, did the same thing. God put 4 or 5 people on my heart, and I prayed for them and reached out to them and just let them know I was praying for you. And it gets you outside of yourself.
So good.
Yeah, that's what comes to mind.
And I think about, we're in such a dark world, that light shines in the darkness for the godly. And it goes back to that verse that I shared about Psalm 97:11, the seeds that illuminate our path, that God's going to make sure we have light on our path. He's going to shine his light through us in the darkness, which I just think is so powerful, and that we aren't to live with a scarcity mindset, even in times of scarcity, to see ourselves as children of God, heirs of God, and he's the one who's got all the provision we need. So I think the tendency is to clench our fists during scarcity times, and I get it. I've been there. But somehow if we can train ourselves to go, I've got a wealthy Heavenly Father. I want to be a generous sower. It might be in kindness. It might be in courage. It might be financially. But to have a generous life is to have a fearless life, much like your ministry. Okay. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. Kind of speaks to what I just said, but if you want to add anything.
I'm just going to comment on, they have no fear of bad news, Susie. The foundation of the Equip newsletter is, I would like to help people wean off fear-based news, because fear paralyzes. It does captivate. It keeps you tuning in. It keeps you clicking, but it paralyzes you and keeps you from engaging the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I just think we can do it in a way that actually invokes power, love, and sound minds into our life. So rejecting fear and moving towards power, love, and sound minds.
And maybe friends, we should. I think I might put some of these passages together for our this next election year for us, because I want you to think about this. What if we engaged in this next year, from here to next November, a year from now, that we decided, I'm not going to fear bad news. I confidently trust the Lord to care for me. And that says they're confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely and give generous to those in need. Their good deeds will be long remembered. They will have influence and honor. What do you say?
More bad news is coming, Susie, and we have the antidote for those who are going to be gripped by it. So, you know, it says that it will be long remembered. I'm grateful for that, but I don't want to hold on to it. I want to provide that to other people who desperately need it. I don't want them to be caught in the grips of it as well. And what does it take for something to be long remembered? It takes getting outside of ourselves. So let's share what we have with those around us.
So, friends, I want to give you a full glance at the Psalm 112, because I think it's such a picture of my help comes from the Lord. And so I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not going to live in reaction to the culture. I'm going to live in response to God. Praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying His commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy, and their good deeds will last forever. Light shines in the darkness for the godly. They're generous, compassionate, and righteous. Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. The wicked will see this and be infuriated. They will grind their teeth away in anger. They will slink away, their hopes thwarted. Which should remind you, the enemy has hopes for your life, but we're not going to fulfill them because we're going to live by faith in Jesus' name. Dan, thank you for a great conversation today. Friends, pray for Dan, as he's so weary. He's on the front lines doing some pretty significant battle. Pray for our friend. Dan, we love and appreciate you. Thanks for joining us today.
Susie, love you too. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Pray you found some encouragement here. This hour is always meant to equip you so we can navigate the times with grace and truth, filled with the Spirit of God, filled with expectancy and the faithfulness of God. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.